Jesus said to the man with the withered hand, "Stretch forth your hand." The man stretched out his hand. And the Bible said the man got healed. So before I get situated here, just don't mind my church scrub. I just put on my church scrub this morning. So those of us who work in different areas, you have the scrub you use. Most of you don't know that I have a scrub. So this is my church scrub this morning. Let it not distract your attention, but because of what I want to do. Now, Jesus said, "Stretch out your hands," and the man did. So before I get situated here, I want you just to get up on your seat and stretch out your hand to somebody and introduce yourself while I raise myself here. Thank you.
Thank you, us.
This great family here, Lord. I ask you that whatever I will say, anything that will proceed from my mouth, will be something you want me to say. And anything you know you don't want me to say, or anything you know that won't bless your family this morning, Abba Father, I want you to hold it back. Shut it down. Because I want to just be a vessel, a messenger. Thank you again for our visitors. Thank you for our family who couldn't come today for one reason or the other. Thank you for especially those that are shut in dealing with all kinds of health issues. Father, send a portion of what is going to happen here to them in their various homes so that at the end of this service, the children will say, "Lord, thank you. You touch my heart. You bless me." Again, have your way. In Jesus' wonderful name, I pray. Amen. Again, thank you for coming to be with us this morning, because everything is time. When the book of Mark was introduced, we were told it's a book of fast. Everything seems going on a fast pace. I wouldn't want to do that this morning because of my accent. Some people have told me I speak fast. I said, wow. Okay. So, just, if you didn't watch my tongue, watch this board there. You will catch up what I'm going to say this morning. This morning, the topic of what we want to discuss, I title it, "When God Stretches Our Faith." When God stretches our faith. Now, we're going to do a recap of what we did here last week for those of us who couldn't come last week. Last week, I used this as a kind of, I used this flight here to demonstrate of what I wanted to communicate to our church. So last Sunday, we discussed how the world rushed together at the scene to find the flight just took off from Brazil, heading down to Paris, which is France. After some minute when that flight took off, everything was okay. We have some people in our church that flies, but the flight disappeared. And then when it disappeared, we also noticed that people rushed to find the plane that took off. Where did it go? What happened? It has occupancies, about 200 and some people there. What happened? So the whole world, America, France, people from different countries began to send resources to find what happened. That's what we said last week. And then we said that we noticed also that people are disappearing from the radar of our church today. But it seems like we don't know how people are disappearing. So we presented some possible reasons for the causes of those disappearances in our church today. We gave about 5 or 6 reasons, and thousands of them. Because we are human, we are a soul, we belong to God. And then we ask the question about what effort are we making to find those disappearing from the radar of our church? Because remember when that plane disappeared, the whole world gathered. They want to know. They want to find the plane. So when people disappear, like there are people who are not in the church this morning, the question is, I don't know where they're not here. And probably you don't know. As long as my family, my member of my children, my ladies here, I know they are here. If they are not here, I will know why they are not here. But church is a family. We are woven this way. We are one family. The Bible says a three-foot cord is not easy to be broken. You see? So if somebody is not in the church this morning, we should know why. What happened? Why that person is not in the church? So that is what we're talking about this morning. And so here are the 2 personal questions I would like us to answer from now. 1, the question before us today is, how far are we willing to go to look for our brothers and sisters missing from the radar of our church? How far? If I'm a member of a family, or you're a member of a family, or you have somebody in your family that is missing, I believe you put up effort, you call, you report, you want to find your loved one. And so the question now is, how far you and me are willing to go to be able to look at those people, find those people who are missing, not only in our church here, but church all over. Do we have to fold our hands? No. So the second question again is, are we totally committed to our church family here at OGPF? That is to say, no matter the trials that come on our ways, we belong to this church family. That's another thing again, we have to answer that question. Are you totally said, this is my family, and I belong to this family? No matter the trials, when trial come to my family, it doesn't make me not to be a member of that family. We have to sit together as a family, finding a way to solve those trials. So the question I want to put before us. 1, how far do you want to go? 2, are we totally said we belong to this family? You see, every day is a new day. In the book of Mark, where we read today, and he said to the man who had his hand withered, come and stand among us. And when he had looked around on them with anger, being grieved at the hardening of their heart, he said to the man, stretch out your hand. And the man stretched out his hand, and he was restored. There's always an effect for a quick response. You see, this man had a withered hand. He was unable to move that hand. He had had his hand withered for long. And anywhere he went, people knew him as a man with that hand. Anything he had, whatever related to him, that withered hand was a kind of a symbolism to describe a man. I grew up in a society where people stereotype people. If you have a hunch on your back and somebody wants to talk about you to someone, when you describe and describe, you say, don't you know that one that has a hunch back? So we have various ways today people can stereotype people. This man here, I can tell you that anywhere he went, he was known as a man with what? A withered hand. But Jesus always comes and take away whatever level we have in life. You know, if I was born here, I would have been diagnosed as a child with OCD, obsessive compulsive disorder. How do I know? You know, when I got married, let me just pretend my lady is not here today. And I won't look this side, okay? So when I got married, because I grew up thinking, just watch me, I always, of course, you know, the characteristics and behavior of people who are obsessive compulsive disorder. I always think that if I keep this in my house this way, like this is a match, because I grew up in Africa, there's no light. So lights always, you don't have light. Even though we have electricity, it comes 10 times and goes 100 times for a month, 2 months, no electricity. So in my house, I have a spot where I put match so that if I am here and the power goes up, boom, all I have to make is this way and take a match and put on a lantern. That was when I was a bachelor. So then when I got married, I still was putting the match here, and then the lights now will go, boom. Then I want to move this way to get the match. The match is no longer there. Oh, my God. So darkness is everywhere. This is, oh, D, honey, where is the match? I thought I'm going to die. After the first month, second month, 1 year, I thought I'm going to die. Because in my mind, I thought that this is the best way to do something, that you have to keep some, everything has to have a spot. But God began to adjust my brain to tell me that, Churchill, everybody is different. It's not the same. We are different. So now I brought somebody who's going to match up with you. I'm going to try your patience. So 1 year, I didn't ask my lady to go. Second year, I didn't ask her to leave my house. We are 25 years plus today. We're still living as a couple. But you know what? God knows how to blend all different characteristics. Whatever we have in life, maybe call it a level. What am I trying to say this morning? God loves each and every one of us. And God knows when to stretch your faith. And so when God stretch our faith, we are willing to take any risk involved to survive the odds. If you look at, let me see if this thing will come on again. If you look at here, this was the 11th floor behind the Twin Tower during September 11. Somebody, this house here caught fire. Somebody from here went to jump down from 11th floor. Why? He wants to put his faith to work. In a normal circumstances, he wouldn't try that. But now life has been threatening. He wants to escape for his life. So now he wants to jump. He wants to jump. This morning, I want you to know there are people in the Bible, God stretched their faith. If you read the Bible very well, if you read the book of Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, the Bible tells us that God said to Abraham, leave your country and come and walk with me. Do you think that was easy for Abraham to do? Those of us who are missionaries, born in a different country, you have your family, you have your friends, you have your food, you have your culture, you have everything. And God said, you're going to leave this country and go to other country. That is a stretch of faith. God said to Jonah, in the book of Jonah chapter 1, verse 1 and 3, he says to Jonah, I want you to go somewhere, Nineveh, and preach to the people at Nineveh. The Bible said, Jonah don't want to go. He refused to go. He wanted to take other way around. Because God was stretching his faith. In Luke chapter 5, verse 4 to 6, when Jesus came to Peter's boat, using Peter's boat, after preaching, Jesus said to Peter, launch to the right. Peter said, Lord, no, I'm a great fisherman. I fish all through the night. What do you mean? Are you going to come in here to teach me? No, I mean, Jesus said, Peter, I say, launch to the right. God was stretching the faith of Peter. In Acts of Apostles chapter 10, verse 1 to 23, you know the story when God wanted to take the gospel also to the first Gentile colonies. And Peter was in a place, in a job of praying. And there was a lunch that was dropped down. And then a voice came, say, Peter, arise and eat. Peter said, oh, no, give me a break. He looked at what was in the plate. Oh, my God, this is disgusting. God said to Peter, arise and eat. But God was trying to stretch his faith, letting him know that he wants to move him now to a different area where he would want to use him. The next person God is going to stretch this morning is you and me. Now, let me give you an example of church rescue team, what a church rescue team look like. Now, what I did here, this is what our church organization looked like in Nigeria, our church, before we left there. This is what our church looked like. Let me demonstrate what I mean here. Because remember, when that plane disappeared, people had to go for that plane. Now, see this. This is a church. This dark spot here is a church. There's always a dark place in the church. And that place is a place where a soul comes. When that soul comes, it has to come the way he is or the way she is. The way she, whatever way she could be, any kind of person, he has a darkness in his heart. So the church had to allow him to come in. So when he comes in, the goal is that by the time this soul live here, there's going to be a light that will shine. Now, see what happened. All these things you see here are hands. Hands that are holding, watching this particular individual that comes to our church. Now, when somebody comes to our church, he comes in, he meets somebody we call a leader. That leader could be a pastor or an elder. So now, we know that somebody who had a dark soul or even visiting came to our church. So now we know. This is Sunday school department. This is men's fellowship. This is women's fellowship. This is youth fellowship. This is prayer group. This is new convert class, and so on and so forth. So now this person who came, let's assume he's a man, okay? Now I know that he's a man. After the church, I will take time to know him. By knowing him, I will know whether he's a Christian or not. So if he's a Christian and he's a man, I know that he's a Christian and he's a man. Then the leader of men fellowship here, no, will be waiting after service. He wouldn't have to go. He wouldn't have to go because, you know, there's a man who come to our church. So after meeting with this soul here, then I know that he's a Christian. I will invite this man here to come in with me. So as he comes in, I will hand over this soul back to him. So this man here, the leader of the men fellowship, will take care of this soul and then we'll begin to talk to him. We have about two or three different men fellowship. Then the leader here knows where this man needs to go to, fellowship A or B. Then he will tell him where he will go on Wednesday when we have Bible studies. If he's a new convert, this man here knows that this person is a new convert. or who haven't accepted the Lord, he will move into this place. And then whatever need this soul has, the people who work here will know that this person has a need, will be praying. The same thing happened to the youth fellowship. Now, all I want to show to you here, how this is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 eyes are watching one soul. So if it's not in the church, how does it begin? The main fellowship we know, and then we report back to the leader. Then the leader will then pick it up there and know why. So this is how, what it means to be a family. If let's assume Millie didn't come back from school. As a parent, I need to know, I need to find out why Millie. I know that Millie didn't come back from fellowship. So if we're a family here, the point is that when one of us is not in the family, didn't return home, does anyone knows about that? So here at Oak Grove, where do we start? We will start from the second book of Corinthians. Look at what 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12, verse 13 says. It says, when I went to Taurus to preach the gospel of Christ, and I found that the Lord had opened a door for me, I still had no peace of mind because I did not find my brother Titus there. So I said goodbye to them and went to Macedonia. See what Paul was talking about? He came to a church. I know from my background what it means that a church asked you to come and preach to them. Then you got there and then you look around. Brother Ranky wasn't there. Bro Ed wasn't there. Brother Jackson wasn't there. Mama Barbara wasn't there. And so on and so forth. What happened? I said to the people who invited me, goodbye. I won't say anything to you. I will have to go and look at who that particular individual. That is exactly what Paul did here. It's a huge thing. Because of one soul. Did you remember the story of a man who had 100 sheep? And one got lost. He left the 99 and went after the one. That's exactly what Paul did here. So this is where we all can participate as a family to always go and look for our brother. Then what will we use? We will use the tools we have. Come on. Yes. Now, this is what's from 1973 to 2008, the handset that made cell phone happen. The cell phone you have in your hand. This was what cell phone looked like. And when cell phone was in this model, children never asked their parents to buy them cell phone because they're going to be carrying two luggages to school every day. But this is a luggage here. But from this short span of time, this is what cell phone look like today with all different information here. So cell phone has changed our life. So here is what we do today. We will start with contact of our leadership. So, get out your phone now, please. Remember what Jesus said to the man, stretch out your hands. So now, please get out your cell phone, please. I want you to take these names here. Derek Park, this is his number here. Dan Reynolds, this is his number here. Jeff Kinnip, this is his number here. And then myself, this is my number here. Please put those contacts in your phone, please. Because we are family. The reason why I want you to have your name, some people have told us, when they have a problem, they don't know where to call. They don't know who to call because of our church administration. But you see, we are modeling something here, just like I show you what we model in third world country. So we are modeling something here too, which is also, it's workable. So these are the people here you need to call 24/7. Call them because you elected them to serve you. Call them. So, if you have taken this number, I want you, remember what 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 20 said, obey the prophet and thou shalt prosper. You hear that? So at place, I want you to follow up this, because we want to do something in our family, something that is maybe nobody have ever asked you to do before. So if I've taken that name there, we're going to do something else again. Then, have you taken those numbers? Are you still taking them? Sorry. I know, contact. So call us. Call anytime. Have difficulties in the hospitals. You need some chores to be done. You need anything. That's what you elected these people here to serve you. And that is what we're here for. We're not here to be answering elders. Elders for what? Is it a title? No. These are church servants. So we are here to serve you. And I want you to call. Most of you here can be a witness. Sometimes when somebody's not in the church, you're not in the church, I test you. I call. Some people here can be a witness. I do that. Why? Because you are my brother, you are my sister. So, have you done that? Somebody still doing that? Okay. If you need more time, when the service is over, you can come back to me, or we can still leave this here for you. Okay? Now, the second thing we're going to do this morning is, if we are a family, we must know when one of us is missing or doesn't return home. The question is, by how? By looking for them. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13, where we read, it says, I still had no peace of mind because I did not find my brother Titus there. So I did what? I said goodbye, and then I went to Macedonia. You see? So, if you are family, we also need to know ourselves. So, while you're still holding your phone, see what we do this morning. We'll do what we call a general contact today. And everyone is going to look for one. And now, let's do something. Let me just come down here a little bit. Remember, Jesus said to the man, come forward. Faith comes by hearing, and faith is action. So all I'm going to do now, if you can stand up this way, you face this way, then those who, this line, face this way, the other line, face this way. Whoever you're facing with, get his or her number. Put it in your phone. So that if he doesn't come to church on Sunday, anytime you come to church now, be looking, not your wife, because you know she's at home, okay? If you are my contact person, if I come to church, you're not here. It's my obligation to look for you, to call you on the phone, okay? So that's what we're going to do now. Don't take your family contact. Just somebody who is not in your contact list, get his number. Let's stand up. The same people this way, let's do the same thing. This is a classroom now. This is not a regular church, okay? Yes, let's do that. Move around, please. You're going to do something. You doing something, sir? Okay, do something. Somebody you have already, don't take him. Take someone else, okay? Don't take the member of your family's number. Take somebody's. You don't have just any phone. You don't have a cell phone. Yeah, that's what I have too. I don't have a smartphone, okay? Yeah, that's what I have. Okay, write it on your paper. That's great. Are we doing something here? I mean, are you getting the names? Great. Thank you. Oh. Okay. You are something. Thank you.
Hello.
Sister. Good. Are we doing something? If you don't, my phone is not a smartphone, but you can write, if you must be faithful, if you write it on a piece of paper when you get home. This takes time to put something here, but then when you get home, put it in your phone. Please, this is so important. I told you. Our church in Nigeria, Seven Eyes, is like a cage fight. When somebody steps into the church, there is a support group around him or her. And everybody must know when he or she is not in the church or had a problem. But the way we model our own church here is still workable. Now, it is your obligation. When this person you have, his name or her name, is not in the church. In fact, you saw what Paul did here. When he came, he looked around. Hey, Broderick was in the church. Okay. He had it in his mind. Once the church is over, he gets home. He picks up a phone. I called Broderick. I didn't see you today in the church. What happened? Tell me. So this is how. This is what a family should do. If we can do this, this is where we can begin. So that, remember when Peter was fishing, the Bible said Jesus came, they were mending their nets. Mending means they were fixing their nets. So if we want our church here to be a church, a barn for soul, a house of God, we have to repair some loopholes so that the fish, when they jump into our nets, they're not going to jump back to the water. So that is what we have done this morning, and I want to thank you for that. Now, let's progress. Now, there was an autopsy that we did on 2 years in a row. The autopsy here shows, when we did this, is my battery here on or dead? When we did this, 2 years, we've done this twice. We did it just last year. This was the record here that shows. The question is, compared to 1 year ago, do you feel better equipped to share your faith with unsaved? Half said yes, half said no. When I saw this, I felt like hiding my face. I felt so ashamed. I felt so unqualified to serve you in this church as an elder. It's like a slap. Now listen to me. I'm saying this from the bottom of my heart. If we could not win the whole Palacidro for Christ, but it should not be to say from this house of faith, this church, that anyone who comes here and live here said he cannot share his faith. He's not equipped enough to share his faith. That is no, no, no. That is no, no, no. If our church in Nigeria knows that we be a part of the church, and you say to somebody in Nigeria, I said, I go to church with Pastor Churchill, and you know, I can't share my faith. I said, what? You mean you go to the same church with him? No, 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 no. They will think that I am living a double standard life here. They will think I have disappointed them there. I'm living a different life here. I mean, it's like a slap on my face. So, listen, my brothers and sisters. So, that's the way I read this thing here. When there are two thoughts about this. The first thought here is, I don't know. When I read that thing, it seems like I don't know all the Bibles. Therefore, I don't know what to say to unsaved person. That is one school of thought. People who are saying that, I want to know, I don't know the whole Bible, because I don't know the whole Bible, I don't know what to say. Or another school of thought here. People say, I am shy. I know the Bible, but I'm shy. I lack boldness. Therefore, I can't speak to unsaved person. But I had more feedback on this here, that they are not talking about here. So many people, not saying that they don't know the Bibles, but many people are saying, from what I heard, that this is where they have a problem, the boldness to do what? To share. Now, we can do something about that. I want to challenge this thought. Thought number one, I don't know all the Bibles. Fact number one, you don't need to know all the Bibles. All you need to know is what happened to your life. Fact number two, life began with Adam and end in Christ. Fact number three, in Adam all die, and in Christ all made alive. Fact number four, you need to know four basic scriptures. That's all you need to know. If you know other things about in scripture, that's okay. But there are three basic scriptures you need to know in order to be able to share your faith to somebody. If you go to Genesis chapter 2, verse 17, that talks about, and God said, any day you eat this tree, this plant of the knowledge of good and evil, you will die. You see, that was that place said. And then they ate. Adam and Eve ate and they died. 1 Corinthians 5:22 says, in Adam all die, and in Christ all made alive. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. John 1:12 says, as many as that receive him, to them he gave the power to become the children of God. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if anyone is in Christ, he is the new creation. All things are passed away. These are the only four scriptures you need to know. And this describes the totality of the salvation. So you don't need to know the Bible. You don't need to say, I feel so shy to do that. Now let me challenge thoughts number two. Fact number one, you are not alone. I am sure you're not alone. I used to be one of them. All these men, Moses, Amos, Jeremiah, Jonah, Ananias, etc., etc. They used to be shy. I used to be a shy person. You know, when I said this at times, some people said, you mean you used to be shy? Oh, yes. You need to know me when I was a young boy. If a pin drops here, I will run. But the only way my village knew that Jesus has captured my heart is when they saw me spoke in the public. So when you say you're shy, come, I will tell you what I was. I was worse than you. But then the question is, how do you gain boldness? You gain boldness through prayers. Remember in the church, Acts of Apostles chapter 2, verse 29, the church prays, say, God, grant us boldness that we may be able to declare your truth. Number two, how to gain boldness is by what? Allowing the Holy Spirit to arrest your heart, to invade your heart. The Bible says when you come before anybody, whether a governor, whether a president, whether the whole world, you say, don't be panicked what to say. When the hour comes, the Holy Spirit is going to take care of your mouth. That's all you need to know. Now, this is a sharing time. Now, I want to say this. God put us, each and every one of us, every single day, on a strategic point to say something to a soul. That soul may have only a few minutes to cross over the other side. Hell. And God put you there to say something. But the question is, do you ever know that there's a reason why God put you there to say something? Or you just to say just a few words? I will share some of my experience. But there's a family here who has been so, we've been blessed by this family. The way we came to Oak Grove is through this family. I can always give God credit, and I can always thank God for them. They were the one God used to bring us to Oak Grove. And let me bring this morning Mr. and Mrs. Ajero. Broche, come and tell us how you came to know Christ. Let's give a clap offering to Jesus as they come, please. This microphone can work. Thank you. Sorry about that. You work here, so you know how to do that. Thank you.
Well, when Churchy asked me to give my testimony, I asked him, how many days do you have? Because I'm notorious. The men's breakfast told me that it took about a month to give my testimony. But I was shortening it.
Yes, just for those of you who doesn't know his address, once he finished, you can get his address and follow him to his house and hear the rest of the story, okay? He just have, this is a monologue, he's just going to do it.
Well, I'll start with mine. My parents got saved when I was a baby, so as long as I can remember, Christ was in our home. And when I was 3 years old, my mom read to me the story of Jesus dying on the cross, and I knew I had been naughty, and I knew I had been bad, and Jesus had to die for me. So I prayed and asked Jesus to forgive me, and he did. And I was one of the good Slagle girls growing up in church and going to VBS and going to youth group. And the summer before I started high school, I went with a camp. And because this was 1989, the theme was SOAR, and it was sold out and radical. And I knew that even though I had prayed and accepted Christ as my Savior, I was just kind of doing the good things because that's what good girls do. And I wasn't totally sold out for God. So I made a commitment that I would follow him. Apart from my parents, it was my thing, and I was going to have a relationship with God, and I did. And I think I, about the same time, too, throughout high school and into college, kind of dabbled with rebellion, but I was too scared to go too far because I was too scared of what God would do to me if I sinned too bad. So I just pushed that as far as I could. And when I went to Bible college up at Multnomah Bible College, and there, I think it was the first time where I realized what pride I was carrying in my heart because I'd been so good. I thought God was so lucky to have such a good girl like me on his side. And I didn't realize how awful my sin had been and is, and how much I needed the grace of God. And I really think God used that time to really teach that to me. And I'm so grateful that he saved me and that he forgave my sin and continues to do so. So now as I'm entering, I guess, a middle part of life, I guess there's some things I've come to know about God. And what I know is God is more mysterious and bigger and more awesome and more holy, more wonderful than I can imagine. But I also am fully 100% convinced that he loves me more than I can imagine. And that anything he does for me, to me, however you want to say it, is whether it's painful or whether it's delightful, that God is doing that because he loves me and he wants the very best for me. And I have come to the point where I want to just seek his kingdom first and seek the king of the kingdom and do that. And I can get really wrapped up in details. And am I doing everything? Is this what God wants me to do or is this not? But God has really shown me that I need to pursue Jesus Christ. And if I do that, he'll take care of the details. And I never imagined that I would be here in this country still because I told God a long time ago I would go wherever and I would serve wherever. And he's given me a very normal American life that I had never wanted. And yet here I am, but he has also shown me the brokenness in my community and even in my neighborhood and these things. And so I'm convinced that he has us here. He's given me the Spirit of God that I take with me wherever I go. And he is opening, I guess, areas of brokenness to me that I can go into and bring Jesus with me. So that's kind of the testimony to this point. I don't know what's going to happen next, but I do know who does. So I'm good.
Amen.
I should have talked first before her. I see my life in the parable of the sower in Matthew 13, when the sower scattered some seeds and the first ones fell on the pathway and birds came and ate them up. And Jesus said it was because the people, those people didn't know, they didn't have any knowledge about God. And I didn't have much knowledge about God growing up, even though I was born into a Roman Catholic family, and I grew up in a village where everybody was a Catholic. And then later, my mom started a church, which I grew up in, and the church concentrated more about the law of Moses, and we did pretty much everything in the law of Moses, including sacrifices, animal sacrifices, which even Israel don't do today. But later on in my life, about 18 years old, I moved out and left home, and I replaced all the laws and regulations with pursuit for richness, good living, and fun. And that was how I lived my post-teenage life, even though I went to church. Around this time, I used to go to a Pentecostal church, and everybody probably thought I was a believer, and I was comfortable in the church. I memorized a few Bible verses, and I knew I loved to sing, so going to church was pretty easy for me. But I knew that deep down now I hadn't committed my life to the Lord. I thought, I just want to go out for money and have fun, and to be a Christian means, or to be a believer, it's not compatible with that kind of lifestyle. I reversed the seek you first the kingdom of God. Instead, it was for me, seek you first wealth and have fun, and then later everything else will be added to you. I thought later on, when I got everything, enjoyed my life, I will go to church and maybe get a Christian, little Christian girl, and settle down and then give my life to the Lord. But I didn't know that God had other plans for me. By the time I made it to the Philippines, I was about 26 years old. And by then, I was deep down in pursuing money and having fun. And I met friends there who were also, who had the same mind. And we partied. And, of course, I don't look like I used to get drunk most of the time. But that was my life. We partied there. And I still went to church, but I knew that my life sucked. And all that time, the Lord kept bringing a bumper sticker. I had a car bumper sticker I had seen in Nigeria back many years ago. And the sticker says, "Only a fool calls sin enjoyment." Mm-hmm. A fool calls sin enjoyment. So I was like, I'm a fool. I thought I was enjoying. And I tried to clean up my life a few times. Then I met a pastor, an American missionary to the Philippines. And I started asking him, why is it that the more I try to seek the Lord, the more I get back into my messy life? He said, you can't do it by your strength. You need the Holy Spirit. And which is true, but the problem is I wasn't willing to commit to the Holy Spirit and allow him to clean up my life. So it kept going until one day I knew about heaven and hell. So one day I started asking myself, what if I die today? Not because death is real. What if I die and I see God and he asked me, what did you do with the life I gave you? What will I tell him? And I had no answer. I was like, that means I'm going to hell. So in the quietness of my bedroom, I knelt down there and prayed. I said, God, I'm tired of this kind of lifestyle, and I need you in my life because I can't do it by myself anymore. And the Lord heard my prayer, and it was a miracle. He changed me.
Amen.
One thing I used to, I thought that, you know, you couldn't play sports without cursing and swearing. And after he changed me, I started playing, and I couldn't even say a word. I was like, wow, what happened to me? That was how God changed me.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you. This is real. If each and every one of us begin to share how you came to know Christ, maybe it might be so similar. Now, my lady here works in a caregiving environment. God has always sent her into a room, maybe where somebody, just the clock is ticking, ticking, going to pass away. But at that moment, something happened. Lady Anne, can you come up here, please? Let's give a clap offering to Jesus as she comes, please.
Like my husband said, I work in a caregiving facility, and in so many times, the Lord has led me into a room where I will, you know, pray with somebody or lead that person to Christ. I have so many stories about that, but I want to share the two most recent ones. The one is that I was in my clinical area, and then somebody just walked into the clinical center and said, "Oh, Anne, what are you doing here?" I said, "I'm in clinical." And he goes, have you heard about so-and-so in one facility? He mentioned the name of the facility. Then I said, "What about her?" And he goes, "She is not doing good. You need to go and see her." So while I was in there, there are so many things bugging my heart, how to write my assessment and things like that. So going to pray for somebody, I did not give it a second thought. But while I was still there towards the end of the clinical, my phone rang, and you know I will not answer my phone there. But the phone continued, so I ran into the restroom to answer the phone, and somebody called me and said, "Anne, so-and-so person is not doing good in our facility. Could you come and see her?" So the thing just dawned on me. Then I said, "Okay, as soon as I'm done here, I will be there." So when I finished my clinical, I drove straight to that facility because they told me the lady is no longer speaking and she doesn't know anybody again. So when I got there, I looked at her. She was not doing good, really. And I asked them whether she's in any form of isolation or another. They said no. So I went to her, placed my hand on her, put my head on her, called her. To my greatest surprise, she opened her eyes and then embraced me. She just threw her hand over my shoulder. And I don't know, she couldn't talk. Then I just told her that even though you are no longer speaking, your spirit is alive. Then I said, "I'm going to pray with you. I want you to repeat this prayer." So I led her into prayer of repentance and then confession, and then I pray with her. I left. Then the following day, I received a message that she passed. Then in my own facility where I work, we came to the beginning of my shift. They were giving us reports that somebody is not doing good there. So I tell myself that I will go and I will get into that room to see the person. So I was caught up with so many things, doing other things. Then at a time, I was led again to go into that room and see him. So I put away everything I was doing, got into the room, and then prayer of repentance and acceptance of Christ into his life. You know, one thing you should know is that whether the person is talking or not, the spirit is alive. So address the spirit and then the spirit, because you know the spirit controls the physical. So after praying with him, coming out and not quite 30 minutes, somebody said, "He's gone." So whenever you are led to do something, just go straight and do it. At times, I saw what my husband put over here, that some people are shy. In my own case, I'm not shy, but because of the laws of America, at times I say I don't want to break their laws or their rules. But in a situation like that, there was a room I went twice to pray, but the family members filled the room. I don't know how to introduce myself or how what to do. But when I walk out the second time, a song came into me, because I know that is the Lord speaking to me. It says, "Jesus shall reign all over the world. Jesus shall reign all over the universe. Come what may, Jesus shall reign." So I went in the strength of that song into that room. Came over there and said, "Please, I'm a Christian. Will you allow me to pray for him, for your mom?" They said, "Oh, yeah." Then I said, "Is any one of you Christian?" Then they said, "Yeah, we are Christians." "Is any one of you his biological son?" They said, "Yeah." I said, "Please, could you lay your hands on him? Then I want to pray." So, you know, at times, don't allow the enemy to deceive you or to do anything so that you will not do what the Lord has asked you to do. Yeah. So we will walk in the strength and in the spirit of the Lord. Thank you.
Amen.
Now, here it is. Mother Barbara here is our mother, even though you may say, how can a white mother have a black son? But it's our mother. One of the service here, she wasn't in the service. So when I got home, this thing happened early this year. I said, she wasn't in the service. I'm going to drive to visit her. So when I got to her house, I prayed with her. Then after praying with her, I decided to go. But before I go, the Spirit of God ministered to me, "You need to visit your lady, because you know she works at the Calvert Veterans Home." I said, "Okay," because it's always crazy there. A lot of, you have to pass through chains of security to get, you know. But when I got there, I've shared this story with some of us here. So the security person ushered me in, said, "Who are you?" I said, "I am Reverend Odrukwe." He said, "Okay, who are you looking for?" I said, "I'm looking for Anne." He said, "Okay, let me call the room." So he picked up a phone and called a room. And then the room she called, the person who is in that room, her name is Anne. And she has two days to pass away. She was there with a hospice care. So when he called the room, the Spirit of God said, "Don't say any word." So somebody came, took me to the room where Anne was, a resident. It's not my lady. My lady is just a worker. So when I came to that room, I saw this beautiful woman who is just in the bed. Beautiful. I said, "I am Reverend Churchill." She stretched out her hands. I held my hand. I said, "Reverend, thank you for coming." I said, "Do you know Christ?" He said, "You go to a church." I don't want to mention a church, but if you hear me mention a church sometime, not just because I want to put any church down, because I don't know if you go or you have your loved one who go to the same church. I'm not saying my church is the best. So I'm going to mention a church now. So you know why I want to mention the church. So she told me, "I go to Catholic." I asked her, do you ever remember? In fact, as I walked in there, her hospice care just walked away because I'm a reverend. I said, "Do you ever remember when you asked Jesus to come into your life?" She said, "No." She said, "Can you pray with me?" Within 5 minutes, I led her into a prayer of salvation. Beautiful lady. She smiled at me. Then I took off. As I was coming out, I was there just because it's a huge place. It's a village. You know, those of you, that place is a huge. So I was just walking away. Somebody just walked this way. And my eyes just moved this way. That was my lady. Oh. I said, "Hey, D, She said, look back. What are you doing here? I said, this is a bazaar. Here, what happened? I came here to see you, and they moved me to a room where there's air. And then I led her to Christ. After 2 or 3 days, she passed away. Do you see God works? You just need to. You need to be able to be sensitive. It's not just because I am shy or I don't know Bible, but just you know that in that moment where you are, God planned it for you to say something to that person. This week again, let me share this with you. I ordered for a pizza. A pizza. We don't eat pizza, but I ordered for dinner. So I drove to the place to pick up the pizza. As I got there, group of 3 women were sitting in that place. And 70s. How many of you watched that show called The Golden Girls? Do you know that show, The Golden Girls? I love that show. I do love it. The Golden Girls. Because they have a unique character. One of the girls, one of the ladies that was sitting in that pizza place was like a Blanche. If you know a Blanche in The Golden Girls, she's very unique. So I asked them, is my pizza ready? They said, no, it's not ready. So I went and sat on a chair. But these 3 women were just sitting there. They were in 70s. 4 chairs, but 3 ladies sitting there. So the Spirit of God said to me, hey, get up. I want you to do something now. So I woke up from my seat and went to where they were sitting and said, hey, can I sit with you people? Then look at me. They said, sure, if you can handle us. I said, really? Because I said, there are 3, 4 seats, but only three of you sitting. One is empty. He said, yes, there was a man who came in here, but he couldn't handle us. I said, okay. So I sat with them. I said, can we talk? I introduced myself to them. They look at me. They say, you have an accent. I say, yeah. So, you're so beautiful. I said to her, you're so beautiful. So when I say, you're so beautiful, say, yeah, I am a hairdresser. If you look at her nails, each nail has a different color. So I was admiring that. And then I said to her, do you go to church? Yeah, one of them said, yeah. When I was 25 years old, I asked Christ to come to my heart. The other one get to Presbyterian. The other one go to Methodist. 70-70, one accepted Christ at age of 25. The other one said 15. But one of them said, I don't know when I asked Christ to come into my life. I said, that's good. But it's good that you know. Did you hear that your friends here said they knew when Christ came to their life? Wouldn't you be nice? Do you know your birthday? He said, yes. I said, okay. I want you to have a new birthday today. I want you to ask Christ, just like this your 2 friends did. Can you do that with me? She said, yes. Let's pray. I held hand with her, and I pray, and I lead her to Christ. And she smiled when we opened her eyes. I said, thank you, Jesus. I went and picked up my pizza and left. Now, just give me 5 minutes. Let me summarize something here. Let me ask you this question now. Let me do a monologue here, a short monologue. Now, let's do what you call gospel tips. Now, you see, there are so much tools you can use. The problem of people is, how do I begin? How do I open my mouth? Now, I use the word, you're beautiful. So when you see a woman, because if you read the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11, you say, God has made everything beautiful for his own time. He has planted eternity in the human heart. But even so, people cannot see the whole scope of God's work from the beginning to the end. So note this. When you see a lady, say you want to share gospel to somebody, you can say to a lady, You're so beautiful. That's what I said to that woman. You're so beautiful. And then watch her response. She will say, oh, thank you. Then your response will be, say, you're welcome. Then you said, you know, I know whenever I see people that are beautiful, my mind goes into that scripture. Now you are referring that scripture which you know that talks about beauty because you want to open up a conversation with that person, open him up or her to speak something. You're watching. So you then you say, I know whenever I see beautiful people like you, it reminds me what the Bible says that God made everything beautiful in his time. Even though some people we don't know or appreciate that. Then you ask the question, do you go to church? And the person will say yes or no. If you say yes, that's good. But then if you said no, then that's a problem. You see, it's a simple thing now, and I said to you, this is just a short model. You're so beautiful. That's what I did to that lady. You're so beautiful. And then the Holy Spirit, because a woman wants to, every woman feels beautiful when you say you're beautiful. Say, oh, thank you. Then, you know, she can speak. I can equally do lunch. Who will volunteer here just for two minutes? Somebody volunteer here for me. One person here volunteer. I need a volunteer here. Somebody here can volunteer. Thank you, bro. Go in. Hey, we're going to do lunch today. Do you going to do lunch today after school with me?
Sure.
Yes, sure. Okay. Green! Lunch time. Yeah, come. Let's see. Yeah, let's see. I brought this. It's for you to have a lunch with me today. Let's say he's not a Christian. And then, because he's not a Christian, sometimes it's hard for him to pray. I'm just working this in my mind. Well, it does happen sometimes. Let's say you're not a Christian, okay? And now we're going to have our lunch, okay?
Okay.
All right, open up your lunch. Okay. Oh, can we pray? Can you pray, please?
I don't know. I'm not comfortable praying.
So. Oh, okay. Let us pray now. Father, thank you. Bless this, our lunch, oh God. As we have it, let it be nourish our body, even though it's a donut. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. When I asked you to pray before, you said you can't pray. Do you go to church? Why not?
Well, just a lot of other things to do, I guess.
Really? Does the parents go to church? The mom,
no,
dad?
Yeah. No, they don't go to church either.
Okay. Have you heard anything about Christ?
Have I heard of what?
Have you heard anything about Christ?
I heard he's the Son of God.
Oh, okay. Have you asked him to come into your heart before? Do you remember when you asked him to come? Okay. You know, I used to be like you. My parents took me to church. I went to church, have a good time, but I didn't, you know, it doesn't occur to me, you know, to ask Christ to come into my heart. But that's something I would like to do, you know. So, is it okay if I pray with you to ask Christ to come into your heart? Is it okay?
Sure, I guess so.
Oh, good. Okay, let's pray. Repeat after me. Jesus, come into my heart.
Come into my heart.
Forgive my sins.
Forgive my sins.
Write my name.
Write my name.
In the book of life.
In the book of life.
Cancel my name.
Cancel my name.
In the book of death.
In the book of death.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. So now Christ lives in you. You are a child of God. Okay?
Okay.
Can you come to church with me tomorrow? Or you will go to with your parents? Which one?
Sure.
Okay. Can you drive or you need me to come and pick you up?
sure I can drive.
Okay, so I'll look forward to see you, okay?
Okay.
Thank you. That's all you
thank
need
you
to.
For lunch.
Thank you for the lunch. So all I did here is for the students, those of you who are students, you go, you know your friends. God is holding you responsible for that your friend. If he doesn't know Christ. You didn't know that? God said to Ezekiel chapter 37, son of man. He said, I made you a watchman over Israel. When I was in seminary, every year, the professor who come from here, we said, open your hands. Then we open our hands. He said, in each of these hands, there's a blood in that hand. We said, what does he mean by a blood? He said, those your neighbor, those your friends who have not come to know Christ, their bloods are in your hands. Imagine what that would be when you'll be in heaven that day and your friend is in hell crying. What will you say? We had party, we went swimming, we went everywhere, but I never opened my mouth to say, Jesus saves. That would be the most wickedest thing you can ever imagine we did to that particular soul. So my brothers and sisters, what I did this morning is to let each and every one of us know we are family. Know your contact person now. Next Sunday, if you come to church here, it's not here, what do you do? Call. If you didn't answer, what did you do? Report to the leadership. Okay? God bless you. Let us rise on our feet. Our Father, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you this morning. I didn't know what I say. But you know what I say, Lord. I pray that, God, you will touch the heart of my family here. You know from the depth of my heart. Many times, Lord, I struggle. There is so much, Lord, we need to do here. God, grant us the wisdom. Grant us the strength to know that we are one family and that we belong to one another. Thank you for all you did today, and let your name be glorified. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen.